What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. Wall World is the game for this week's episode. Wall World is a roguelite tower defense mining sim that was developed by Alawar in 2023, and it is available on Switch, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and also Android, but I'm pretty surprised that it's not on last-gen consoles, especially because this is not like a next-gen game by any means, but it is only for the Switch, PS5, and the Xbox Series. The game compares a lot, especially just in the, like the minute-to-minute gameplay of digging games, SteamWorld Dig, Spelunky, sort of this mining in 2D and pixelated. It actually reminds me of Nova 111, a game we talked about a while back, but in real time. A lot of things in a tower defense game you might expect, so enemies coming in waves, different alerts that you're going to get when that's happening, which reminds me a lot of like Subterrane or Darkwood, like there's specific times where you know enemies are coming, as well as like Kingdom Two Crowns, although that game wasn't as telegraphed enough, but very similar in that respect because of getting resources and then, you know, trying to construct things or build things. So you're mining resources, you're crafting, you're upgrading. There's temporary things that you're upgrading that will go away in a run, and there's also permanent things, but there's also kind of a procedural generation RNG drops for different things, for lore. I don't know if a lot of the things for the story progression are procedural or random, but it might feel like that. And then cross all that with a futuristic tech, you're in like a giant mech spider, and also this feeling of post-apocalyptic world, you know, reminds me a lot of Into the Breach and Jusant, a strange cross between those two, especially because sort of the idea of being in a post-apocalyptic, it's almost like a reset, but you have all this tech and this futuristic type stuff. A lot of all of those games combined, as well as games like Merchant of the Skies and Turmoil, where you're kind of, you know, reacting in real time, you know, getting things going while you're not there, collecting resources, so on and so forth. The price of the game, so it is on console for $9.99. I think the Steam price is cheaper at $6.99, so I'm not sure why there's a price difference there. On howlongtobeat.com, it says 11 hours. I think that's just doing the story. There's definitely a lot of things to collect. I don't exactly know how much I have, but I am getting trophies for like collect three of these things or 10 of these things or have this happen so many times. So there is sort of the completionist out there. It might take you over 20 hours. Me, I've been playing it on PS5. I got it on sale for $3.99 and I've probably put in about 6 hours. And I believe the mark of how you know how far you progressed is if you're getting these crypto keys. I think there are 6 and I have 3. So I guess I'm about halfway. But I'm really milking my runs and just, you know, getting into the rinse and repeat of it. The developer and publisher, it's the same, is Alawar. I don't know much about them. They do have a big website, and on their site it says they make mid-core and casual games. Some other games that they've done the Beholder series. I think I bought one of those on PS4, and a game called Do Not Feed the Monkeys. That sounds familiar. I think people have talked about it before, but I haven't played it. But I really don't know anything about this team or this game. I didn't really hear about it. I did see it on sale a while ago, maybe like a month or two, and I think it might have actually been cheaper than $3.99, but I missed it. But I put it on my watch list, and I was super into the gameplay and sort of the vagueness of the story, so I decided to give it a shot. All right, let's talk gameplay for Wall World. So this is a roguelite. So you are going to be going on runs. You are going to get temporary and permanent upgrades or unlocks throughout the game. So you're kind of just getting used to that cycle. But first, let's talk about some of the basics. So for a large part of the game, you are going to be walking around in a giant mech spider. But it is 2D, and you are going to be scaling a wall vertically. So you can either move your spider up or down. That's pretty much it. You will get some more mobility with the spider. You'll unlock moves and abilities that allow you to do boosts or jumps. But really, you're just scaling vertically. Whenever you see a mining site, which on the wall is just going to be like a square that looks like it has crumbly rocks on it, you're going to be able to dock at that mining site. And basically, the spider will dock. It'll dig in its legs, and then it'll open up a portion of the mining site to allow you to go in and explore. When you are docked at a mining site, you're not moving the spider. So it's like planting itself there. But you are able to do other things. Your spider will have a weapon that you can control the aim with the right stick, and you can fire it. The basic weapon is going to be a machine gun, and you can do this whether the spider is moving or it's docked. And eventually you will unlock other weapons that you can use with the spider, but it's basically going to be like a free aim, but you're doing it with the right stick. So you'll see a little cursor. You can actually push the cursor further out, but it's still going to have sort of the same arc of motion, like a 180. Now, when you are docked, you'll actually notice that you are controlling a little miner. He can either be connected to the spider or disconnect from the spider. So as soon as you undock, the miner stays connected. And when you are connected as the miner, you can, like I said, control the gun of the spider. You can access the upgrade menu for the spider in your run. But the moment that you disconnect, you're going to just be the miner in kind of like this free floating environment where you can just move freely. It's not really explained. It's not like you're in water, but I don't see like a visible jetpack or anything like that. But you are just moving freely with the stick floating through the environment. And that is when you can actually leave the spider and go into whatever mine that has been opened. And when you are the miner, just like when you are the spider, it's kind of like a twin stick shooter. So with the left joystick, you're moving freely. And then with the right, you are doing a 360 aim with the miner because you're going to be exploring and you can sort of aim at things all around you. And what you're going to be aiming is either your laser drill, which is going to allow you to break rocks and collect things, or your vacuum suction, which is how you're going to collect the resources that you get from the blocks. Both of them, you just hold them to keep them going, and then you can free, like I said, 360 aim them. There is a little, like, 1 second cooldown between them, so you can't just go back and forth. Like, it's right trigger and left trigger for the laser and the vacuum. But I found that, like, sometimes if I was just holding the laser and then I switched to the vacuum without, like, giving it a second, it wouldn't register right away. So there is kind of a little hiccup there, so be aware of that. So let's talk about the pacing of the game. It's fairly simple, I would say. Like I said, it is a roguelite, so you are going on runs, and it's kind of just play till you die. But the main things when you are in these runs that you're going to come across is either mining, which we talked about, or combat. So it's kind of like the ebb and flow of that. So let's get into the mining aspect of it. And again, this is when your spider is docked and your character, the little miner, is kind of free moving. You can break blocks with your laser and you can collect resources and you can basically explore. But each mine that you're going to open up that the spider is going to shoot open is going to have a varied size and a varied terrain, which is like sort of like a coating that you'll see on the bricks. And that's going to kind of give you some insight. I don't know if there's some intention. I think this is where the procedural generation comes in. But you're not going to be able to see that beforehand. Like when you're just going up and down with the spider and trying to find a mining site, it's not going to show you anything behind it. So you won't be able to see it until it docks and kind of shoots in and opens up some of the mine. But the basic cycle is when you jump into a mine, you're breaking the blocks with the drill, and there are going to be different types that will vary in terms of how long it takes your laser to break them. And again, kind of whatever coating might be on them could indicate that. But anytime you break any block, it's going to give you currency that goes all the way up in the right corner, and these are for permanent upgrades. So this is permanent currency. As long as you're breaking blocks, you're getting this permanent currency that you'll be able to use in between runs. And also, as you're breaking blocks, it's going to open up the path more. So it allows you to explore further into that mine, except when you get up to the edge, which is just like a black wall. And this will be very obvious when you can't break anymore, especially because you can kind of see the cracks or the lines in the blocks. And as you shoot it with your drill before it sort of blows up the block, it'll actually like light up the cracks in it so that you're sure that, hey, this is a block. Some of the blocks will have resources in them and you'll see it visually if it's like the immediate exposed layer. And when you break these blocks, they'll release a certain number of resource gems. And there are many different types, which we'll talk about. But as soon as you explode that block, they'll actually fall. So gravity's acting here. And they'll fall to whatever the ground is. And if the ground happens to be more blocks and you break those blocks, they'll keep falling. But basically, when you release those resources, that's what you need to use the vacuum for to suck them up. Now, your character has a limited carrying capacity, and you'll see a meter start to fill up right above your character as you're getting resources. And once you are sort of full in your carrying capacity, you're going to have to return to the ship to empty it. So return to the spider, and as soon as you cross the barrier between the mine and the spider, it'll automatically like upload it to whatever storage is in your spider. So you can just pop in and then pop back out. And these resources are going to be used to unlock upgrades for the run, which we'll talk about. Sometimes you will pick up resources that don't fit inside your vacuum, but rather when you suck them up, they'll just like stick on the outside. They're too big. And so it's kind of a good strategy if you see one of those resources to just kind of leave it. And then once you fill up your vacuum, then use the suction to put that on the outside. And then you're bringing all that stuff back to the ship at the same time. And of course, you're exploring and discovering when you're going into these mines. So sometimes you'll come across little rooms that'll have an interact button and will have a free upgrade that it gives to you. You'll find new weapons for your ship sometimes, or you'll find certain tools that'll help you with mining. Sometimes you'll find blueprints, and these are what are going to allow you the permanent upgrades. And they'll have like levels of them. So when you get access to a permanent upgrade, you'll have to find the blueprints for like the next level up. Sometimes you will come across small rooms when the spider chooses to open up a mining location. And sometimes these might just have little lore bits, like notes that were left behind. And you'll see like maybe there's, you know, a skeleton left over in that room. So like there was a person here who wrote this note. So you are getting that sort of little lore bit here and then. And then, of course, sometimes you're going to get these crypto keys. Now, I believe this is how you're progressing through the game. Because on the main menu in between runs, if you have a key or you got a key on that last run, your character will talk to another character about like, oh, you found another key. And I believe they said the first time that I saw it that there are 6 out there. I don't know if that is quote unquote beating the game, but it certainly seems like that is how you're gauging how far in the game you're getting. Now, of course, like we talked about, this is procedurally generated. So I think as soon as the run starts, maybe it's decided what mine has what in it. So there is no necessarily rhyme or reason to like which stuff or which resources are in which mines, how close to the start. But of course, the size and the depth of the caves is going to vary, as well as if there's like a special cave drop or like a special room. So let's get into the defend aspect and talk about combat or threats coming to you. So the threats that you're going to experience are going to come from outside the spider. So you're not going to experience them like in the mines that you open up. You're actually going to have to get back to the spider to deal with the threat. So this is where there's going to be a threat meter in the bottom left that is kind of slowly going up. And then when it hits the max, the alarm will sound. And that means like, hey, you have to get back to the spider, connect and deal with the threats. Now, you should even keep an eye on that meter, especially if it's gone off a couple times or you find yourself very far in the run, because you want to anticipate it. Because as soon as that alarm goes off, enemies are coming. Sometimes if you are in the spider and trying to go from mining space to mining space, if you keep going in one direction for like a long time, that actually might trigger a threat as well. And it's like not in sync with the meter. So like if you're just traveling up really far for a long time, sometimes like there'll be a horde of enemies and the alarm will sound, but the meter will still be going up for wherever it was. I'm not sure how that is sort of coincided, but I think it's like not wanting you to move too much or like threatening you if you move too much, maybe. Also, the major threat in the run is that as soon as you start, there's a 20-minute counter at the top of the screen that starts counting down. And what that's counting down to is like the boss, which we'll talk about in a second. So let's just talk generally about enemies. So once the threat comes and the alarm is sounded, you got to get back to the spider. And once you're in there, you're going to start to see enemies approaching you in the spider. And some of these are going to be flyers and shooters. Some of them are going to be walking along the wall. Some of them are actually going to be spawners. They're going to be shooting out more enemies. If they're flying in, they're probably flying in directly from the left. But sometimes, especially as you get further along in a run, they'll come sort of at an angle. They'll come at varying speeds. Some of them will be kamikazes. And also some of them are going to have varying shoot distance. Like they're going to need to get either really close or they can shoot from really far. And of course, they also do varying amounts of damage to you. Now, like I said, the walkers are going to come from the top and the bottom, so you kind of have to keep your eye on pretty much everywhere to the left as well as above and below you. Sometimes there'll be small enemies kind of marching to you in swarms. Other times there'll be bigger ones. But as the run progresses, these waves are going to get progressively more difficult, have different types of enemies. You know, you'll consistently be seeing newer types as you get further in a run. And then hopefully if you happen to die, like you'll come back and you'll be ready for them the next time you see them. Regardless of the enemy, they have the varied amount of HP or number of hits that you need to hit them with. Some have specific spots they need to be hit on, or at least will do extra damage so you can kill them more quickly. And what's nice about the spider, don't forget, it can move and you can be in combat at the same time. So sometimes if the encounter is getting out of hand, you might actually want to undock the spider and move up and down. But while you are in combat, again, you're using your right stick to aim the gun in sort of like a 180, but it does take time for the gun to get to where you're aiming. You can also change weapons if you have more. There's a way to do it with the D-pad, but there's also like a wheel that can pop up and pause it. Your spider will also get special moves eventually. When you are in combat, though, you do want to monitor your HP. If at any point you want to access the upgrade menu, it's really nice because that kind of pauses the game. And there is a healing mechanic in the game that you access through the upgrade menu. So if you're ever sort of in peril, you'll be able to do that. And then, of course, when the boss encounter comes, I think it's like the same boss. It's just like this giant black tentacle monster that's like all the way on the left of the screen. It's interesting because when that 20-minute meter counts down, you're in this sort of boss arena, which is basically this giant tentacle monster blocking off like a certain space to the top and the bottom. So like you're kind of stuck in here until you finish the encounter. And the boss will gradually shoot some things. They are small or big projectiles, but they're kind of slow. Every now and then it'll do an AoE slam, but it is telegraphed with like a visual, this is where it's going to happen. So you do have enough time to get out of the way. Also, while the boss is there, there are massive enemy swarms. So like this encounter, when the 20 minutes ticks down, like you need to be ready for because it can be pretty crazy. I don't know what stops it, like how you get through it, although I have gotten through it a bunch. I think there are spots on it that you can hit, but I think mainly the goal is just to outlast, like not die. And after a certain amount of time, it'll go away and it'll reset the counter. The first time I played, it took me about 6 or 7 runs before I actually beat one of them. And when you do, it's just like, hey, you beat that. That's great. Go back to what you were doing. So you're kind of just continuing on the run. Again, that 20-minute clock just starts again. Now let's talk about upgrading, because this is going to be the lifeblood of you in the runs, trying to get further, trying to progress yourself. So you are collecting these resources and you're putting them back in the spider. Using these when you're in the spider in the upgrade menu is how you're going to make your run better. So you'll go into the spider and you'll access the menu, and basically different resources can purchase from like a skill tree. Now, like I said, you're mining different resources and they are different shapes or different colors. And each one of them is going to have sort of like different purposes for use in the upgrade menu. I feel like it's pixelated and it took me maybe a little bit to discern. It might be my color blindness, but I didn't find it too egregious. Like eventually I was like, okay, that one's kind of blue, but it's circle shaped. That one's kind of blue and it's shaped like a, I don't know, like a statue or something like that. In the upgrade menu, there's going to be specific requirements. And as long as you bring back resources into the spider, you're going to be able to dig from the pool that you brought in. And the way that the upgrade tree works is there are different sort of categories or subheadings for each entity. So one would be your starting weapon for your spider, which is the machine gun. So you can upgrade different aspects of it, like the rotation speed, so it'll get to where your cursor is faster. You can reduce the spread of the fire. You can increase the fire rate. You can increase the damage of each bullet. You can upgrade your suit, meaning like the miner when it's going in the mine, so how fast it moves, the drill efficiency. So if you up that, you're going to break blocks a lot faster. The range of the drill, how many resources you get from breaking a block that has resources in it, all kinds of things like that. And then you can upgrade your spider. This is where there'll be one aspect that you can use to heal, and you can use it multiple times in a row. And then there'll be like different things where you're unlocking the ability to use different resources to heal you. So there's a lot of versatility in the healing aspect. And then anytime you get an added tool or a different spider weapon, it'll show up another like tier or another category of things to upgrade. So anytime you get a new weapon, like a grenade launcher, a bomb thrower, a stake shooter, a shotgun, you'll be able to upgrade them individually. And the other tools that you'll get like a dock station that spawns in your spider, and you can take it with you anytime you want to go mining. And if you bring it along and drop it, you'll be able to like get a boost from it if you're within the radius of it. There's also an upgrade you can find that gives you an auto turret that is like floating around outside your spider and helping you shoot enemies. And then you can upgrade that, give it, you know, a bigger clip size, faster reload speed, things like that. You also will be able to build with the spider. And these are going to be structures that you can build basically outside of any mine entrance when your spider's there. And these could be like things that auto mine and give you resources sort of passively. These could be turret towers that basically replicate what the auto turret does. And of course, you can upgrade these. How many resources it costs to make them, their efficiency, things like that. And of course, all of these upgrades that you're using resources for, these are going to be temporary within a run. When we talk about permanent upgrades, this is when you're using that permanent currency that you get from breaking every block. So if you do a run and you've been in it for a long time and then you die, you might come with like, 10,000 of the permanent currency. So it's definitely going to add up because you're breaking a lot of blocks. The permanent upgrades you can only access in between runs. So it's like basically after you die, you go back to the main menu where you're looking at the permanent upgrades and what to spend money on. Again, you won't get access to these unless you find blueprints. You are going to find these, especially in the beginning, fairly quickly. I think there's a certain level of the upgrades that you don't need blueprints for. They're just like accessible from the beginning. But there are definitely going to be things that you want to upgrade regularly, like the health bar for your spider, the different abilities for your spider. So like eventually you'll get the ability to like dash up and down the wall. This is especially helpful when you're facing the boss, because sometimes if there are enemies like on the wall, you won't be able to walk past them. So if the boss is saying like, I'm about to attack here, you can actually use this like dash down or dash up to get out of the way before that happens. You'll also get an upgrade to shoot a missile. And these abilities, the wall dashes and the missiles and things like that, you'll use them when you're in combat with the spider, but they have like a cooldown refresh rate. So you have to wait for like the block to cool down. Other things you can upgrade permanently, the miner resource carrying capacity. This is great, definitely helpful, but there's definitely a wide array of things that you're permanently upgrading. So it doesn't feel so much like a roguelike, because as you progress through, you're actually getting better at the game and accessing more abilities, higher level tiers, things like that. And let's kind of talk about the progression in terms of the cycle. We've already alluded to it, but this idea of like you play, you mine, you explore, you collect, and then you defend until you die. Hopefully you go through a fair amount of boss runs, but basically whenever your spider's HP gets down to zero, you'll abandon it and it'll reset. Kind of similar to like Into the Breach, like once your team is done, there's almost like a lore mechanic or whatever for what happened in that game. But you're just going to reset and then you'll go back to an upgraded spider when you spend all of your permanent currency. Within a run, you're upgrading to survive, right? You're finding and using a lot of different resources to upgrade different things. The further you get, the more you might find resources that you've never seen before, allowing you to access upgrades you've never used before. And so just getting used to that and finding out like new things that you can get to gets you to want to stretch further, even when you're starting a new run. Like, oh, now I know what to get first, or like what I really need. So let me just aim for that. When I've played, I've only lasted through two boss encounters. That's the furthest I've gotten. So like I've made it past two 20-minute counters. And then after the third one, I died. And that happened a couple times because the boss actually gets more difficult. What I will say about the game is that it is tough. And I'm playing on normal. This game has three difficulty modes: normal, hard, and intense. So I'm playing on the lowest one. And the first, 3 hours, I'm getting my ass handed to me. So this is a tough game, but it's definitely a game that you're learning and you're getting access to easier ways to do things and a lot of benefits along the way. So I really do appreciate that. Let's talk about the vibe of Wall World, and let's get into themes and settings. So this definitely feels like a dystopian, post-apocalyptic world. I don't really know everything that's going on in terms of detail, or even what you are, who you are, but I guess there's a mining civilization people are exploring, and this world is just a giant wall. I don't know what planet this is supposed to be. I don't know if the effects of gravity are, selective, but basically the entire world is just this wall on one side, and I don't know if it's infinite up and infinite down. It seems like it's been here a while. I mean, you're picking up on lore, different notes left by different characters that are unnamed. I mean, it's just unknown people, so you're piecing together sort of the past of the people or the troubles that went on here, but it's all very vague. It's certainly vague in terms of you. There is a time where like you are talking to another character when you're on the main menu selecting like your permanent upgrades, but there's no context about like who you are and where you've come from. It's interesting because it reminds me a lot of Jusant, which is a game that we did a while back, which is like you're just this person and you're just climbing to get to the top, I guess, or to get to these different areas, and there's no one else around and you're just kind of piecing together based on notes that have left behind. So it's very similar in that respect. You're exploring remnants and clues, you're finding relics in caves. It's not clear who left it. Eerily vacant and a bit lonely, I feel. And of course, the futuristic nature of it, the tech, like you're laser mining, your character's floating, you're walking around in a mech spider, you're upgrading it with different guns. The enemies, I don't really know the origin. I don't know if you would describe them as alien. I don't know their purpose, especially in relation to you or the world, how long they've been there. But they seem to be insect-like, and sometimes like they're, little flying things or bigger flying things or walking things. Sometimes they're just amorphous blobs, especially the boss. I don't know the origin of it, what it's there for. It almost gives me this weird like Zelda vibe, almost like Skyward Sword, like the infinite darkness or the beast or whatever. I'm not sure how sentient it is. I'm not sure of all those connections, but I like sort of the eeriness of it. Visually, the game is pixelated and grainy at times, especially with enemies, but it has like a clear, thin outline on most things that make it easy to read. Your characters, the mech and things like that, it reminds me a bit of like Dave the Diver graphics, as well as Into the Breach, which we've talked about. Coloration-wise, you've got the wall, the mines, everything is very dark colored, but the environments are interesting. Like in a cave, you're talking about like the different color blocks that you're breaking apart, like the coloring on the surface of them that I guess simulates terrain. These are very interesting because they vary. They can be just gray, they can be sort of green moss, or they can be like frozen blocks, they can be technicolored with like weird tech circuit board looking lines and stuff. So there's a lot of variation there, and that is kind of communicating the difficulty of the area because of how long it takes to break through the blocks. So often like the crazier colors or whatever, that indicates that it might be a little tougher. Outside the cave, like you're looking at, when you're in the spider, the wall is on the right, and then you have a large open area to your left that's just like far away landscapes, high up, I would say. A lot of times it's clouds, but it's also mountains sometimes, or when you're going lower, it actually gets like dark and red, almost like feeling like you're getting towards the center of the earth or something like that, as well as certain weather effects, like when it rains, when it snows, like it's so alive, it feels active, at least environmentally, despite the vastness and sort of the eerie vacancy. One thing that's really nice is when you get higher up, I think, it's like snowing a lot. And sometimes like you'll go into the mine and then you'll come back out to the spider and then the weather will be different. So it's like you didn't know all that time passed. But if it snows and you jump into the spider, there's like a lot of snow that's settled on the spider. So like when you activate it, it like moves and then it all falls off. So just little things like that visually kind of give it a little charm. And of course, color indicators, the different resources, you know, I'm a little colorblind, but I felt like I could, at least with the pixelation, actually figure out the discernment pretty well between them. So I did get used to it. The alert meter blinking, it blinks red when the meter goes to max, as well as when the timer at the top, the 20-minute timer has counted down, like it'll blink red. Also, the cooldown of the spider abilities are very clear visually, like they're yellow buttons. And then when you use them, it goes to like a darker, like a brown or red, and then you see the yellow filling up. But in terms of audio, the sound effects in this game, I feel like are so necessary. Even the alert meters visually, if I didn't have that sound when they were going off, I honestly would forget about them, especially because I try to preemptively get out to the spider before the meter goes all the way up. And a lot of times I forget, but as soon as I hear the alarm, like once the meter hits max, like I really rely on that. And in fact, I played it, I think my wife was playing another game or we were watching TV and I didn't have the sound on, and it actually really messed me up because I was like getting attacked on the outside and I was in the mine. I didn't even know it because I wasn't looking over at the meter and I couldn't hear it. But other sound effects are really good. Like when bullets hit an enemy, you'll hear them like squish if they die, which is helpful because you can actually shoot enemies off screen. So a lot of times I was like, as soon as I got in the spider, if I didn't see any enemies, I was just firing away straight to the left, hoping that like a swarm was coming from there. And actually a lot of times, like I would hear squishes before I would even see an enemy, as well as if enemies are hitting you and you don't realize it, like the walking enemies that are coming from the top and from the bottom, a lot of times they'll like overlap at the edge of the spider, but they'll be hitting you and you'll hear like metal tinks that are telling you like, hey, you're getting hit. So that's helpful because you might not see them. The music in this game, very simple, yet very serene and relaxing, which is really one of my main praises about this game. I found it so relaxing to play this. Obviously, the combat can be a little stressful, but I like the idea of like a mining sim, like just what might seem like monotonous work. It can be so soothing, especially if the music and the audio is like putting you in that mood of relaxation. It's certainly why I like to play like farming games, Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon, things like that. Like I like those sims. Being able to do it in sort of like a peaceful, again, like eerily vacant world, I only think it complements, like especially the visuals, you know, the vast emptiness, the backgrounds, as well as, you know, being in this dystopia, being lonely yet calm. It's sort of eerily beautiful, and I really appreciate that. Let's wrap up the conversation about Wall World. So I really enjoy playing this game. It's honestly relaxing. It's calming. You know, mining resources, returning, getting into that rinse and repeat, that cycle. Sometimes the combat will get a little stressful, but I found this to be such a comfortable game. You know, a lot of those themes linking together, this dystopian world, this loneliness, it certainly brought back a lot from Jusant, as well as crossed with the tech futuristic aspect, feeling a lot of that Into the Breach, not as like militaristic, but certainly like the idea of you've got scenarios, you're fighting creatures, maybe they're invading, and you have to like do something about it. Definitely a satisfying upgrade loop, learning how to do better and also getting more help from your permanent upgrades, knowing how to access some of your run upgrades or like the ones that you really want. It takes time to get used to that, to get far in a run and know what upgrades you can get to so that you know, like, oh, I really like doing this strategy or upgrading my machine gun so that it can move very fast. In terms of value, I think $10 is really good. And it's an interesting price point. We've talked about this before. I tend to not look at games under the $15 price point just because I don't know what that value is. A lot of games under $15 are just really not worth it, I feel. But this one caught me, especially when I saw it in a sale. I got it for $3.99. I feel like that was a steal. And I actually think I missed it for cheaper like a month before. But I am totally fine with $3.99. I find the $10 value for this game to be really good. So I like that value. If you want to get it full price, I think it's worth it. It is a tough game, don't get me wrong, but I like the learning curves. I don't think it's trying to beat you over the head like a Souls game, like, oh, you have to die to learn. But like, you do feel like there is a clear progression. You are getting permanent currency, permanent upgrades. You are finding lore bits. You are finding these keys, which I think are the key to progressing through the game. But I'm not sure how it's going to play out long term. I don't think the object of the game is to just outlast and go as far as you can on a run. I think it's just to get better at things and find these keys, and that's how you beat the game. But on that note, I do think this could even be a game to do an endless run for, like pick it up every once in a while and like see how far you can get. So I think there's almost double value there in how you should or could play this game, and I enjoyed it. And so I highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.